Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI arrives in Israel on the second leg of his pilgrimage to the Holy Land and immediately addresses the issue of Palestinian statehood. The Pope pays a poignant visit to Yad Vashem, the Jewish people's living memorial to the Holocaust. We hear about a recent initiative to promote dialogue between Jewish scholars and Catholic experts, focusing on the role of Pope Pius XII during World War II. Pope Benedict XVI has arrived in Israel on the second leg of his pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He was greeted at the airport near Tel Aviv by senior officials, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Shimon Peres. During the next 5 days, the Pope will visit sacred sites linked with the life of Jesus, and he will hold talks with religious representatives as well as with Israeli and Palestinian leaders. In his arrival speech, the Pope immediately addressed the issue of Palestinian statehood.
In union with people of goodwill everywhere, I plead with all those responsible to explore every possible avenue in the search for a just resolution of the outstanding difficulties, so that both peoples may live in peace in a homeland of their own, within secure and internationally recognized borders.
And the Pope said Israel and the Vatican had many shared values, including the desire to put religion in its rightful place in society.
The just ordering of social relationships presupposes and requires a respect for the freedom and dignity of every human being whom Christians, Muslims, and Jews alike believe to be created by a loving God and destined for eternal life. When the religious dimension of the human person is denied or marginalized, the very foundation for a proper understanding of inalienable human rights is placed in jeopardy.
And Pope Benedict called for free access to Jerusalem for people from all the religions with holy sites in the city.
One thing that three great monotheistic religions have in common is a special veneration for that holy city. It is my earnest hope that all pilgrims to the holy places will be able to access them freely and without restraint.
In his discourse, Pope Benedict also spoke of how, tragically, the Jewish people have experienced the terrible consequences of ideologies that deny the fundamental dignity of every human person. He said that he would pray for the 6 million victims of the Holocaust and promised to fight anti-Semitism around the world.
It is right and fitting that during my stay in Israel, I will have the opportunity to honor the memory of the 6 million Jewish victims of the Shoah and to pray that humanity will never again witness a crime of such magnitude. Sadly, anti-Semitism continues to rear its ugly head in many parts of the world. This is totally unacceptable.
Every effort must be made to combat anti-Semitism, the Pope continued, wherever it is found. Meanwhile, Benedict XVI announced with joy that he is taking his place in a long line of Christian pilgrims to these shores.
I come, like so many others before me, to pray at the holy places, to pray especially for peace. Peace in the Holy Land and peace throughout the world.
And addressing the Pope at Ben Gurion Airport, President Shimon Peres said he hoped the Pope's visit would in fact help pave the road to peace.
We have made peace with Egypt and Jordan, and we are negotiating to make peace with the Palestinians. We may also arrive at a comprehensive regional peace in the near future. Your visit here brings a blessing understanding between religions and spread peace to near and to far.
And as we follow Benedict's pilgrimage from afar, Vatican Radio's Sean Patrick Lovett is in the Holy Land, travelling with the Pope. During the previous leg of this visit, a three-day stay in Jordan, the Pope stressed the importance of Christians and Muslims working together. And as Sean so aptly puts it, as from today, it's really time to start a new chapter.
Time to turn the page. Papal pilgrimage to the Holy Land, end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2. Just when we thought we could sit back and rest on our laurels, so to speak, congratulating ourselves on a successful visit to Jordan, here we are, starting all over again in Israel. It ain't easy. Even though, when it comes to the Jordanian leg of the trip, it's smiles all round. And if successful means what I think it does, namely achieving one's purpose, then it was a great success. The Pope did what he wanted to do, praying at the holy sites and meeting different religious communities. He said what he wanted to say, encouraging Christians and engaging Muslims. He made all the right gestures, visiting a mosque and blessing foundation stones. He said all the right things, reinforcing his call to reason, reconciliation, and respect. Of course, not everyone has ears to hear, but that's life. The Jordanians, most of them, loved it. It's worthwhile remembering that Jordan is one of the few countries in the Middle East that doesn't float on oil. Gasoline is regularly rationed. So the tourist trade isn't a question of small change, it's a question of survival. Naturally, they hope the Pope's visit here will boost interest in their holy sites, of which there are several. They've also come up with a triple formula to guarantee success: sites, services, and security. And in this part of the world, that's no small promise, believe me. In addition, the unscheduled presence of the King and Queen at the Pope's last stop here, the baptismal site on the River Jordan, was a sign they've realized just how much royalty rocks. Of course, the King is an Oxford graduate, so he probably picked up a few tips from the British royals. Like I said, smiles all round. But like I also said, time to turn the page. Some commentators are already announcing that the pilgrimage is over and the political tug of war is about to begin. It's true, there are great hopes and expectations on both sides, Israeli and Palestinian, for what the Pope will say and for what he won't say, for what he will do and for what he won't do. Actually, he's already said what he wants to do: offer a concrete contribution to what he calls the common good. If he succeeds on this leg of his peace pilgrimage, it could mean a major page turn for the whole region. Don't touch that dial. With the Pope in the Holy Land, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Thanks there to Vatican Radio's Sean Patrick Lovett, who is in the Holy Land travelling with the Pope. Meanwhile, Pope Benedict's first full day in Israel was a busy one. After the welcome ceremony at Tel Aviv's Ben Gurion Airport, the Pope travelled 60 kilometres to Jerusalem, where he was greeted by the city's mayor, before resting at the Apostolic Delegation, where he will be spending the night. In the afternoon, the Pope visited a Yad Vashem, the Jewish people's living memorial to the Holocaust. Described as the heart and the soul of Jewish memory, Yad Vashem was established in 1953 as the World Centre for Documentation, Research, Education and Commemoration of the Holocaust. Today it is a place of intergenerational and international encounter. Also because for over half a century, Yad Vashem has been committed to four pillars of remembrance: commemoration, documentation, research and education. Just recently, an unprecedented meeting between Jewish and Catholic scholars at Yad Vashem focused on the role played by Pope Pius XII in World War II. The seminar was organized by members of the Studium Theologicum Salesianum in Jerusalem, who were joined by a panel from the Yad Vashem International Institute for Holocaust Research. My friend and colleague Tracy McClure reported on the outcome of the seminar and interviewed one of the organizers. But first she gave me some background and filled me in on the figure of Pope Pius XII.
The pontiff, who led the Catholic Church from March 1939 until his death in 1958, has been criticized in some quarters as having done little to defend Europe's Jews from Hitler's ruthless campaign to exterminate them. Yet the Church and some Jewish historians object to the criticism, countering that circumstances forced Pope Pius to assist the Jews secretly out of fear of far-reaching consequences not only for Europe's Jewish communities, but for the Catholic Church as well. Dean of the Studium Theologicum Salesianum, Father Roberto Spataro, helped organize the encounter. He told me the panels included those who were sympathetic to Pius XII's World War II actions and those who weren't. Just getting them together a first time to compare notes made the weekend meeting a success.
So this was the first purpose of the meeting, and the atmosphere of the meeting was so friendly that actually the meeting, at least with this regard, was very successful.
I'm sure you have seen some newspapers in Israel today in which the Israeli side has talked about the results of the weekend meetings. Can you tell me anything about what you read in the newspapers?
I have just read the piece of news given by Jerusalem Post, and I don't know if other newspapers reported anything about it. But just after reading the Jerusalem Post, I can say that they tend to set the news inside the large framework of the relationship between the Holy See, generally the Catholics, and the Jewish world.
Did they have any negative or positive?
No, not negative.
Did the decision to have this study group or have this study session have anything to do with Pope Benedict's upcoming visit to the Holy Land in May?
No, because the meeting was planned before the visit of the Holy Father was announced, and I'm glad to say even before the rumors of the Holy Father's visit were starting spreading. But, of course, any attempt to improve the relationship between the Catholic Church and Israeli world, Jewish environments, of course, has a good impact on the forthcoming Pope's visit.
Now, members of the Catholic Church have objected to a plaque contained in the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem that suggests that Pius XII did little to prevent or to denounce the Holocaust. Now, I know that Catholic experts at the weekend study session were attempting to present a different side to Pius XII that may not be widely known. What sort of testimony did they present in defense of the pontiff?
Actually, experts, the Catholic experts, but I would like to say the historians that maintain a different position from that Catholic values, Pius XII's attitude and action. So the historians, they introduced, they presented plenty of documents, and in a certain sense, they had the difficulty of choosing what kind of documents to base, to ground their position, because in reality there are so many witnesses that allow us to show the behavior and the attitudes of Pope Pius XII were very supportive of the Jews during the Second World War.
What were some of the reactions of the Jewish scholars? Were they aware of much of this material presented over the weekend, or was it mostly unpublished documentation?
During the meeting, some unpublished documentation was introduced, and therefore the reaction of the Jewish scholars, the scholars invited by Yad Vashem, was very positive. But mostly the documentation that was commented on was already known by all the historians. But the way of presenting and interpreting them was quite different from what those who criticize the Pius XII do. And in this sense, I found that also the historians invited by Yad Vashem were very attentive and sensitive to the different interpretations.
I noticed that you corrected me there by saying that the scholars invited by Yad Vashem. So
yes.
I understand that not all of them were Jewish scholars. Is
that
right?
Yes, because the scholars who attended the meeting came from different parts of the world. It was a very international meeting, both Europe and America, North America, the States, and Australia. And not all of them were Jews.
I see. Well, it appears that much of the bad press that Pius XII has received over the years came really to the fore only in the 1960s, when a fictitious play denigrating his role in World War II gained worldwide attention. Was any discussion devoted to news coverage or criticism of the Pope during the wartime years and the first two decades after the war?
Yeah, you are very right. It's a very odd situation that after the Second World War, until the beginning of the 60s of last century, Pope Pius XII was regarded by all people as a great defender of the Jews. And also some documents that prove this gratitude of the Jews for what he did during the Second World War was mentioned during our meeting. And to be honest, the documents that were brought forward during our meeting to support the criticism of the Pope for what he did or what he did not do after the Second World War was very, very weak.
Now, Jewish scholars and some Holocaust historians have suggested they want to reserve judgment on Pius XII before they are able to examine the Vatican's secret archives for the World War II years. Did that issue come up, and what was said by both sides on that topic?
Yes, all the serious historians are well aware that the opening of archives takes much time. And therefore, also during our meeting, everyone was aware that we have to wait for a while to have access to the so-called secret Vatican archives. But anyway, it was very interesting that some pieces of documentation that was discussed, presented and discussed during the meeting, belongs to archives that so far are not known, not explored by the historians, or that have just been opened. And one of the things that was underlined, emphasized, is just this one, that there is the possibility of going through so many sources in order to widen our knowledge of what happened about Pius XII and widen the spectrum of our consideration.
I think what you're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong,
yes.
A certain number of pre-wartime years of the archives have been opened and have been made available to the public here in the Vatican, and not very many people have actually tried to access those years.
Concerning the Vatican, first of all, the archive until 1939 are available. That's to say, whatever concern the role of Pius XII before being appointed as Pope, that's to say when he was nuncio in Bavaria and then in Germany, and as Secretary of State of Pope Pius XI. There are other private archives that can be examined. And anyway, it is a very recent announcement that has been given by the Vatican official that within 5 years, also the Vatican archives concerning the Second World War, and that to say the time of Pope Pius XII's pontificate, will be available.
Just to push you a little bit further, Father, on these private archives you're talking about, we heard recently that a convent, for example, here in Rome, released some very important documents back to 1943 that showed that the Pope himself had ordered cloistered convents to open their doors to protect Jewish families.
Yes. Actually, the document that you are mentioning was discovered more than 3 years ago. And there was an Italian periodical that published, although not in a complete way, this document that has got its importance, but it's not so revolutionary that as many newspapers have stated in the last days, in the last weeks. But anyway, during our symposium, other pieces of documents belonging to the so-called private archives of religious families, or, for instance, the Pacelli's families have been proposed during our discussions. And I noticed that I said before that the historians invited by Yad Vashem were very, very attentive to the documents of this kind, for instance, the documents of the religious community. One of the scholars invited by the Apostolic Delegation and the Salesian Institution that represented the Vatican delegation, one of the scholars, she proposed a plenty of documents of the religious houses archives.
Now, Father, will this dialogue continue, and what are your hopes for this dialogue in the future?
Yes, the wish that was expressed by everyone who attended the workshop was to go on. And one of the fruits of this meeting that was wished by everyone was to publish all the documents that were mentioned, above all the unpublished documents or the unknown documents that were mentioned. But apart from the publication of the collection of the documents, also the attempt to go on with this kind of partnership. Because, as I said, the atmosphere was very cordial and even friendly.
And a very warm thanks there to the Dean of the Studium Theologicum Salesianum in Jerusalem, Father Roberto Spataro.
And my thanks, of course, to Tracy McClure for that interesting interview. And for more on the memorial itself, a haunting venue located at the foot of Mount Herzl on the Mount of Remembrance, Emma McCarthy told me it's a complex that spreads over 180 square metres.
Yad Vashem is the Hebrew name of the Holocaust Martyrs and Heroes Remembrance Authority, located at the foot of Mount Herzl on the Mount of Remembrance in Jerusalem. It is a vast memorial complex dedicated to perpetuating the memory of the 6 million Jewish victims of the Nazi regime. It stretches over 45 acres, and its complex includes harrowing sculptures, archives, and a museum and hall of remembrance. There, visitors can see and hear first-hand accounts from survivors. Since the 1950s, Yad Vashem has collected approximately 46,000 audio, video, and handwritten testimonies by Holocaust survivors. Another of Yad Vashem's tasks is to honor non-Jews who have risked their lives to save Jewish people during the Holocaust. In 1963, the Remembrance Authority embarked upon a worldwide project to grant the title of Righteous Among the Nations to all those who helped Jewish people in their darkest time in their history. A commission headed by a Supreme Court justice examines each case and is responsible for granting the title. The names of those recognized are commemorated in the Garden of the Righteous Among the Nations on the Mount of Remembrance. As of 2008, more than 22,000 people have received this honor. But Pope Benedict XVI is not the first pope to visit this memorial. In March 2000, his predecessor, John Paul II, visited Yad Vashem during his five-day pilgrimage to the holy sites of the Holy Land. There, he said, the world must heed the warning that comes from us to the victims of the Holocaust and from the testimony of the survivors. Here, at Yad Vashem, the memory lives on and burns itself onto our souls.
And also today, before visiting Yad Vashem, Pope Benedict XVI was received by Israeli President Shimon Peres at the Presidential Palace in Jerusalem. Present in the gardens of the palace to greet the Pope were about 300 religious and political personalities. Adon Olam, Asher Malach. Addressing those gathered, the Pope turned his thoughts to the ordinary families of this city, of this country. What parents, Pope Benedict said, would ever want violence, insecurity, or disunity for their son or daughter? What humane political end can ever be served through conflict and violence? I hear the cry, Benedict continued, of those who live in this land for justice, for peace, for respect for their dignity, for lasting security, a daily life free from the fear of outside threats and senseless violence. During that ceremony, Pope Benedict planted a tree in a universal, symbolic gesture of peace. But the Israeli ambassador to the Holy See, Mordechai Levy, explained the particular significance of this gesture in the Holy Land.
We believe that the land of milk and honey in the Bible, unfortunately no oil, but milk and honey, was very much forested and green. And it happened so that within 2,000 years it became a barren land which has to be reforested. So it is, I think, a part of an effort to reshape the country as it was during biblical times.
The rest of the week's programme is intense for Pope Benedict XVI. On Tuesday, he is scheduled to visit the Wailing Wall and meet with the chief rabbis of Jerusalem. On Wednesday, the Pope will cross the border and enter the Palestinian territories, where he will go to a refugee camp and meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The highlight on Thursday will be a mass in Nazareth, a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and another meeting with the Franciscan Brotherhood at the Cave of the Annunciation. The Pope's Holy Land visit comes to a close on Friday after a meeting with Orthodox Christian leaders. That's all from the English feature programme today and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.